And now for something completely different.
You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. I want to welcome you here. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. He's taking an extra day off between Christmas and was trying to figure out what holiday do we just celebrate. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Christmas. We're in that week between Christmas and New Year's, and it landed on a Sunday this year, which gives us kind of this full week in between. And so everybody's trying to figure out whether they're supposed to be working or not. But we are glad that you have joined us here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. Want to let you know that our number here is toll-free. It's 866-577-2473. That's toll-free to reach the show at 866-577-2473. And you can always reach the show and David Spoon in a number of different ways. You can email him at davidspoon@kprz.com, or you can find his Facebook page by typing in the David Spoon Experience. And you can like it, make a comment, and share the post. And we're really glad to have you with us today. Boy, a lot going on today. We just got the news, and you probably just heard on SNR News that Carrie Fisher has died, 60 years old. She passed away this morning after a heart attack on Friday. And of course, we all knew her as royalty. She was Princess Leia on Star Wars. I don't know where you were when that first movie came out. 1977, Episode 4 came out. And I remember watching that. And boy, all my high school buddies and I together went and we stood in a line that circled the theater all the way around. And you waited in line. Of course, young people today are wondering, why didn't you just buy your tickets on your iPhone app? We didn't have iPhones in those days. Yeah, it was the dark ages. It was before cell phones, before smartphones. We didn't even have dumb phones. We had these little rotary things that were plugged into a wire back at our parents' house. But yeah, Star Wars came out in 1977, and boy, what an impact it has made, and huge success at the box office. But so many people following that storyline and that plot, and Carrie Fisher's life was one of difficulty, and yet she was just kind of turning some things around here and getting sober and other things. But other things have ended today as well. I don't know if you caught the news on this, but Thomas Sowell is moving into retirement. He did not pass away. He's just retiring. But those of us that have been reading his columns for several decades have really enjoyed his writing. Ted Cruz said about him that he was a brilliant thinker and a writer who inspired a generation of conservatives. And for decades, Thomas Sowell was indeed doing that. Other people have said some amazing things. I was surprised. I read this little bio of him, Thomas Sowell, and then I read the article this morning. But he said, even the best things come to an end after enjoying a quarter of a century of writing this column for Creator Syndicate. I've decided to stop. Age 86 is well past the usual retirement age. I would say so. But as I often say to my ministry friends, we never retire. We just retread. There is a sense in which certain ministries and certain jobs, you just keep on going. And Thomas Sowell has definitely given us a lot of good writing to think about. He was a very conservative thinker. He wrote several very well-received and highly scholarly books on the economy, which is a very difficult subject. We've all been talking a lot about the economy. Some people are really excited about the stock market right now, and all kinds of different things going on. We'll get to some laws today that are brand new coming into California, and they have to do with the economy. But Thomas Sowell has always been out there kind of really analyzing. And one of the things that he said was that he always really appreciated the need for studying and researching so that he could know what the facts were before writing. Now, that's a very important principle to be used in the writing world. There's a lot of people that don't bother to look up any of the facts. They just write. and just talk, and they're published widely. But we do appreciate those that really research and look for the facts and get those things going. I hope you all had a great Christmas. I know Christmas time for some people is absolutely thrilling and enjoying, but also for others, it's not. It's a really rough time. I had some friends that this was their first Christmas to miss their mom. Their mom passed away over the year, and they said, boy, it's really kind of the empty time with the losses like that. And so we want to remember that not everybody's having a Merry Christmas. Some of you had a great time with family, and some of you did not. I know that not all family is enjoyable, but we get together at Christmas or Thanksgiving on these holidays, and these times come together, but you have those opportunities to get together and remember why your brother or sister, why you're just part of the family. But there was one grandpa, I read about this this morning as well, that decided, I am a grandpa now, so I really got to pay attention to this. I've only got one grandson, but this grandpa decided that shopping for Christmas presents had become too difficult. So all of his grandchildren had everything they needed, and he decided just to send them each a check. And so on each card, he wrote, Happy Christmas, Grandpa, and then P.S., buy your own present. But while the little family festivities were going on, he noticed his grandchildren were all just kind of a little bit distant. You know how that sort of family thing goes? You're kind of not quite sure. Nobody's saying anything. And it really sort of bugged him after a while. And so into the new year, he got into sorting out his study. And under a pile of magazines, he found a little pile of checks all made out to his grandchildren. And he realized he had completely forgotten to put them in with the Christmas cards. So that really changes the whole nature of that little Christmas card, Happy Christmas, Grandpa, buy your own present. But one other little thing about Christmas, you know, that we did a little Christmas present for my grandson. And you know the whole thing about batteries not included? We did not have any C batteries. Now, we had double A's, we had triple A's, we had a drawer full of D batteries, but no C batteries. So when we got his little Polar Express train all set up Christmas Eve, Grandpa jumped in the car and ran over to Ralph's and bought enough C batteries to run that. But Bernard Manning said, I once bought my kids a set of batteries for Christmas with a note on it saying, toys not included. Now, that's just kind of cold-hearted. That's what I think. But we did have a great time playing and having some fun. Of course, there's always that end of the Christmas celebration. Yesterday, we took my grandson and his mom and dad back to the airport, and they headed home to get going on some of their other things. And I looked at my wife and said, well, what can we do that's worse than that, dropping your grandson off at the airport? So we decided to go to the shopping mall. Now, I'll tell you what, the day after Christmas, I actually got through the entire Christmas season, never once went into a shopping mall. We did all of our shopping before I left on our ministry trip to Myanmar, country of Burma over in Asia. So we did kind of all of our shopping online, got everything ordered, and then we picked up some gifts over there. So this was my first step into a shopping mall, and it actually worked out pretty well because we were not really in a hurry. We had one thing that we were going to exchange. We needed a different size on something that we had gotten, and so we weren't really under a big level of stress. And if it was too crazy, we'd bail on the whole thing. But we actually used our little Waze app, and we got snuck in the back entrance of the parking lot, and only had to wait in the line a little bit, and then got out and made our way in and out. San Diego malls fared pretty well, but I was really surprised across the country yesterday. There were disturbances all over shopping malls. These were kind of strange. Some of them were captured on social media. You can see some of the videotapes out there. But there were things like just a fight, starting with social media posts that promised a fight at the town center in Aurora, Colorado. And so the police department showed up. There were about 100 people gathered in the food court before the brawls broke out. and that the Colorado Mall had to close early. Kind of morphed into a large disturbance. Off-duty police officers were trying to detain people, and others arrived, and then a fight broke out. And it sounds like there were like over 500 people involved. And the authorities arrested like five people. They were all juveniles. They recovered no weapons. But this happened in Manchester, Connecticut, and Memphis, Tennessee, and Fayetteville, North Carolina, Elizabeth, New Jersey, Fort Worth, Texas. I guess it kind of takes shopping to a whole new level. I heard a term this year. I don't know. Maybe it's been around before. But, you know, there are black belt shoppers. These are the people that are out there in the malls, first thing the Black Friday morning, Christmas Day, the day after Christmas, they're the first ones out there, and they're just the wild and crazy shoppers. And I did hear one of my friends said her husband hadn't bought a Christmas present for her yet, and so Friday afternoon he was headed to the mall after he got off work, and I just laughed. I said, "Has he ever been in a mall?" It's like some guys, they just don't do any of that shopping stuff. But sounds like they're kind of mellowing out there, and the sales are going on and all kinds of things happening. So we're planning on having a great time here this afternoon. Maybe you're off work this week and you've got a little time off, and so we're looking forward to sharing with you. I'm going to be talking a little bit about my recent trip. I mentioned it. We're going to be back here in just a minute. I went to Burma. I was there for 4 weeks. Got some exciting things about what God is doing there. We're going to talk as well a little bit about the shepherds and the magi. I want to just kind of explore those passages of Scripture with you today. I think there's some wonderful insights about those visitors that came to see Jesus. And so we're going to be taking a little break here. But when we come back from that break, we're going to have a lot more going on this afternoon. And so we're looking forward to that. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Be right back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
You are a smart person. You know what side the butter goes on. You can't help but bark up the right tree. You even know who let the dogs out. So in your search for the perfect job, why aren't you using helpwantedsandiego.com? Where smart people like you know the easy way to find a local job. Millions of other smart people know they can upload their resume for free in just minutes. Plus, it's smart and mobile friendly, just like that science guy. So, smart person, use that freakishly large noodle and find a job on helpwantedsandiego.com. Long name, amazing results. Okay, voice of my car, please program the location coordinates for my new job interview.
I cannot comply with that request.
Did you say no?
You don't want to drive that far to work. It makes you cranky.
I don't get cranky.
I recommend helpwantedsandiego.com.
My car is giving me career advice?
It's free, and uploading your resume is faster and easier than ever. You will find hundreds of great local jobs within easy driving distance.
Okay, fine, I'll do it.
Have I ever steered you wrong?
Well, technically, I do the steering.
Ha ha ha. Easy to use and easy to apply. Helpwantedsandiego.com. Long name, amazing results.
Is 2017 going to be a better year for you? It certainly could be with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month, right? What would you do differently, knowing you had more money coming in? Wouldn't you feel a bit more secure about your life, your family, and your retirement? What if I told you there may be a way to make your dreams a reality by investing and trading in the market? And the best part is, you can do all of this from your laptop or smartphone. Sound interesting? Text the word INVEST to my friends at Online Trading Academy at 57682. They want to give you a free mini tablet preloaded with the Wall Street Insider's Kit that has videos, investing articles, and even one of their most popular classes. And the best part? It's all for free when you attend their next class. Hurry, while supplies last. You must be 21 or older. Text the word INVEST to 57682 to get your free preloaded tablet with the Wall Street Insider's Kit. Text INVEST to 57682. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you have any vintage Christmas ornaments on your tree? Here's a vintage Christmas message. It's from Billy Graham, the year 1953.
That tiny, remote, secluded manger with its sweet-smelling straw and its lowing cattle comprised the homely stage upon which the most striking and significant drama of the centuries was enacted. It was there that God, in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, became identified with man. angels blended their voices with peasants on that first Christmas morning when the glorious news of Christ's birth reverberated throughout the land. Heaven and earth were once more united in the bonds of unity by those tiny infant hands of the babe of Bethlehem.
Jesus grew into a man who died on a cross so that your sins could be forgiven. You can accept that gift of forgiveness and begin a relationship with Jesus right now. Let us tell you how at this website, findpeacewithgod.net. This is the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I want to thank you for joining us here at KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. You can find our Whitefields ministry at whitefields.org. That's whitefields.org. And we also are available at 760-846-8610. I frequently speak in churches, share about missions and things that are going on around the world, and David Spoon talks about us on his show every day, so you are getting to know a little more about us. I want to thank you all for those of you that were praying for myself, my wife, our team. We were in the country of Myanmar. That is the former country of Burma. Burma is located over in the peninsula there that Vietnam and Cambodia, south of China, the Thailand is alongside the east border, and India is off to the west. And Myanmar has been a country that's been kind of under a military government junta the last 30 years. That's when they changed their name from Burma to Myanmar. They are just now reopening the country to Western governments and Western visitors. So it's a very unique transition time. I was there 2 years ago. I've come back now this year that was there for about 4 weeks. We were together over there just after Thanksgiving, and the Lord was really opening a lot of doors. Now, some of you might have heard that Franklin Graham was just in Yangon. That's the main, kind of the main industrial city, largest group of people. There were about 50, 55,000 people in attendance at some of those rallies, those events that they had. They were there for 3 nights. The population of Myanmar, though, is over 55 million people. It is a large country, about one of the 24th largest countries in the world in terms of population. And as we have been visiting over there, Whitefields Ministry, we've been supporting national pastors starting about 15 years ago. So we were there even when the country was closed to Western missionaries and Western people being able to come in. In fact, during the cyclone Nargis that flooded the Irrawaddy Delta, thousands upon thousands of people died in that cyclone. That cyclone took place 8 years ago. It's very etched in my mind because at that time, we received a prayer request from one of our pastors. We call him, his nickname is Pastor Tutu, and we were praying for him because his church was going to go down to that. They were in that Delta area, and our field director, Pastor Tong, was able to get funds from us and get aid and support and food right down into that area of the Delta where Pastor Tutu's church was at. Now, this was before the UN aid workers were allowed to go in. The government there, the military generals that were in control, refused to allow anybody else to come into that area. But Whitefields Ministry, our pastors, are nationals. They're indigenous people. So they had the freedom to go in because they're not foreigners. And when they went in, they supplied food. They fed everybody in the area that was starving. They had big, big bowls, pots full of rice, and they fed everyone. Well, there was a young boy that was born that night during the storm. His name is Peter, and he's 8 years old now. And I had the wonderful privilege to be with Peter and his father, Pastor Tom, now, because 8 years later, he's come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He actually received Christ because of his son's birth during that cyclone. He thought, Their little bamboo structure had been blown away. It only had two walls left. Mother was cowering in the corner, and she was giving birth to a little baby, and they all assumed that this baby would die. Well, that baby did not die, because the next day, Pastor Tong and his church members came. They had food. They were able to feed all the members of that family. And through that act of kindness and compassion, Pastor Tam, Mintam, came to know the Lord. He became a disciple of Pastor Tutu, has risen up, and little Peter, 8 years old, sang a beautiful little Christmas song, a little solo, at the gathering that we had among their church members. And what a wonderful blessing that was to be with him. It's great to be able to see the growth of these churches and to see a little boy that was born 8 years ago in the middle of a storm, and to see him serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a part of what my ministry allows me to do as I go travel into these places. We also went to visit one of our other pastors, Pastor Lang, and you cannot drive there. There are no roads to the area where he is at. He is located out in the Delta area, and you have to take a boat. So you take a boat or you walk through the jungle. We decided to take a boat, and we went out to the area. When we arrived, it's a tidal zone, so the tide is either up or the tide is down. When we first arrived, the tide was down, and so we were about 30 feet off the shore, and it was, well, you either have to walk up that 30 feet of mud, or wait a minute, we'll just go one more little inlet down. And we discovered that little inlet, they had a wonderful little bamboo dock. Now, I don't know if you've ever crawled out of a boat on a bamboo dock, but bamboo's not very strong. And they only had about 6 or 8 pieces of bamboo sort of tied together on some bamboo posts. And I'm a little bigger than most of the guys there that are nationals, that are indigenous pastors. I'm about a foot taller and maybe a foot broader. We'll just leave it at that. So when we crawled out on that bamboo little dock and I'm walking along, I'm trying to stretch my feet across all 6 bamboos. But thank the Lord we made it out safely. By your prayers, we were safe all along the trip. We had some incredible drives to make. But when we got out, got on shore, we were met by about 150 people at this wonderful church, wonderful group, a community of believers there, and just were thrilled with their worship and their hunger for God's word. We were able to deliver a box of Bibles to them so that they had some Bibles in their own language, and that is always a plus for them. The churches grow, but Pastor Lang is there on a full-time basis because we're able to support him through the generous gifts of our supporters at Whitefields. We also visited another pastor. You hear a little radio ad from us. We talk about Pastor Ruat's diligence in sharing the gospel. And I had the chance to sit down with Pastor Ruat in the place where he has been ministering. Now, it's an area where the government said, we're just going to open up this area. We're going to parcel out land to people. You can come here if you are Burmese, which is one of the ethnic groups. Burma is a country. Myanmar is a country made up of very distinct ethnic groups. There's about 135 of these ethnic national races. Most of them have different languages, and then even within those languages, they have very unique dialects. But in this particular area, they were allowing Burmese people to come up and settle. And so this is a village that just started about 5 years ago. These people, here's a couple acres. You come up, start farming. If you can make it grow, then you can live. And Pastor Ruat went there. I asked him, one of the questions I asked was, I said, how many Christians were here when you started? And he said, there were no Christians here. In fact, it was about 4 or 5 months of him being there and sharing the gospel and sharing with people before the first convert came to Jesus Christ. Now, there are 5 families of believers, And the church has built a well. They've dug a well. They offer water to the other villagers, and that is such an important part of the whole ministry there. So we are thankful for what God is doing. We traveled far and wide and beyond. We went up to an area called Kalemio. We went far up into the mountains. There are women there that their faces are tattooed. In fact, the Daily Mail had an article about them today. Very rare kind of a situation going on there. But we were all around. We enjoyed it, and thank you for your prayers. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back after the bottom of the hour. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. When we come back, we're going to hear about the shepherds and the magi. See you in just a little bit.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
While ISIS filled the headlines this year, one story the mainstream media missed was the number of Muslims who turned to Christ. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Open Doors says Muslims in the Middle East are turning to Jesus in unprecedented numbers. Before the ISIS war, it was rare that a Muslim would become a follower of Jesus Christ. The war changed everything. According to one Christian worker in Lebanon, many new converts say they had their doubts about Islam before they converted. On its website, Open Doors tells the stories of several Muslims who converted to Christianity over the past year. One of those stories is about Amir and Rasha, not their real names, and their two children who fled from Homs. Since 2012, the family has been living in a tent. Amir will tell you life is not easy. About a year ago, Rasha's mother was killed by a sniper when she went out for some fresh air. Rasha's brother was killed on his way home. But in the midst of trials, God spoke to Amir and Rasha in dreams. Rasha said in her dream, she saw Jesus Christ in white. Jesus said, "I am Christ." At about the same time, Amir also had a dream. He also saw Jesus dressed in white. Jesus said to Amir, "I am your Savior. You will follow me." Both Amir and Rasha made bold decisions after the dreams, but they also live in fear of retaliation for their decisions. These days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer. If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Sitting on a dock of a bay, wasting time.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Got a little bumper music there about the dock in honor of my bamboo dock story. Yeah, that was pretty scary. You know, the first step I took out of that, I heard a crack as the bamboo started to crack, and I thought, oh man, if I fall in, I'm going to go knee deep into the mud. And that's when I started wondering if David Spoon's audience was praying for me. No, I really did. But we are glad that you're joining us here. And I know David was excited when I got back. He wanted to know how the trip had gone. And I was able to tell him, David, things went really well. We were healthy the whole time. And we were thankful for all the people. And he said, we've been praying for you. And I know there were different things coming along the lines. We had a great time traveling around. Whitefield's ministry supports national pastors starting new churches in their own countries. We actually give them a salary that is a medium range that fits the culture that they're in. So out in some of these rural villages, just a few hundred dollars a month allows them to live like the people that they're ministering to. And then we gradually decrease that as their church gets started. And I had the privilege throughout Myanmar to travel and visit these churches. Now, during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they would actually gather their church members together. A lot of them would not go off to work. They're farmers, they're fishermen. They just do labor work, and they would take the day and stay in order to meet us. It was a high privilege for us to be able to meet these people. We'd hear their testimonies. They'd worship together. They'd sing and praise God. And because it was around Christmas time here, we would provide some funds available so that they could have a special Christmas celebration meal with their not only their church people, but they would invite lots of their neighbors to come. And it would be a special meal because at this time they might have a piece of meat or some extra vegetables instead of just the plain rice. And I would have the privilege to preach. And as I preached to them, I shared with them from Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2. Now, it's fascinating to me that at the birth of a baby, people love to come visit. I've got quite a few friends that just their families just had babies over the Christmas holidays. You see it posted up on Facebook, and I've gotten text messages from them. The baby's here. Grandmas and grandpas, my age friends, they're jumping on a plane, jumping on a train, heading off so they can go be with the family, and they're just enjoying that wonder. Well, when God's son was born, God wanted to have visitors come to him, and the Bible records two very distinct set of visitors. And as I was traveling throughout Myanmar, I was preaching these texts. And it's a fascinating text to preach to these people because in some of these villages, I'm out with people who possess and own absolutely nothing. And they really relate to one set of those visitors that came. But when I would share about how exciting it is to visit the family when a baby is born, their faces would all light up. And especially when I said to moms how exciting it is when you finally give birth and, oh, the moms realize, yeah, that is an exciting time. And you love to have visitors come visit you. And when Jesus was born, God wanted to have some visitors come visit. And the first set of visitors we find in Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Now, I know a whole lot of people were preaching sermons on this last Sunday and maybe the Sunday before. In fact, I read a few guys that were trying to say, wow, what can you say about Luke chapter 2 other than like Jesus is the best gift of all? Well, I want to draw some things out of these two passages of Scripture because I think the people that God chose to come visit, Joseph and Mary, share a whole lot with us about what God was doing throughout the whole Bible as he reveals his plan of redemption. First of all, look at the shepherds. They're in Luke chapter 2. And we find that shepherds of that day, in Jesus' day, were poor. They were the poor people. They're the uneducated people. It did not take a college degree to go watch sheep in the field at night. They were also, though, very lowly esteemed. They were so untrusted. They were the least trusted occupation of their day. They would not be allowed to be a witness in court. That's how low they were on the totem pole. We also note something else. The shepherds appear to be entirely unexpecting of the birth of Jesus, God's son. They did not have on their calendar set that this is the time when Daniel prophesied that the Messiah would be born. So there's virtually no expectation on their part. What are they doing? They're just out at night watching the sheep in a field kind of near Bethlehem. One other thing that's very interesting is when the angels come to them, their response is fear. You put that into perspective. These guys are the shepherds. They're poor, they're uneducated, they're untrusted by the rest of society. They're not expecting anything to happen in their life that is unique or different. They're just plain, ordinary, run-of-the-mill shepherd guys, and they're the night crew. And then the angels arrive. Now, this is very important for someone involved in missions like I am. It's very significant to me because I know that God has left the exposure and the proclamation of the gospel in our hands, humans. We were told by Jesus to go and share the gospel and to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. But in this event with these shepherds, God used angels. And they came and they delivered the message in such a way that the shepherds were absolutely blown out of their minds. At the birth of God's Son, he sent angels to announce. Normally, he uses people. But the God of the Bible is not contained in stones or woods. He's the creator of everything. And he is even proclaimed by his entire creation. Psalm 19 tells us that in every place and in every language, God and his existence is available. It's not a Western religion. He's known and can be known all over the entire world. Everywhere the moon, the sun, and the stars are visible, God can be known. And God, though, is also able to deliver his message to whomever will listen. He can even use the rocks if people will not cry out, and Jesus expresses that at his triumphal entry. And so that's what's happening to the shepherds here. They're in a nearby region. They're close to where Jesus is being born. And as we look at this, we recognize one other thing, and that is that the announcement by the angels to the shepherds was probably not fully grasped by them. They just didn't have the biblical scriptural knowledge to understand really what was going on. They know the angels have spoken and they have headed out, but they don't really know totally what they're going to find. But they do hear this from the angels, and that is that salvation is available to all people, because God says here in verse 10, the angels delivered the message, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." You know, it was exciting to be in Burma among people that are barefoot, that live in bamboo houses, bamboo structures, little woven banana leaves covering their roof. Sometimes if they've got a little more, they've got a tin roof on top of their little bamboo structure. And yet I could say to them that God, when he chose a group of people to announce the birth of the Savior, to announce the birth of his Son, he decided to invite the lowest of the low, the poorest of the poor. The gospel is available to you. And that's thrilling, to be able to know that the message that God has given us is not only available to sophisticated people. It's available to everybody. Now, there's one other thing I want to bring up in this segment before we finish here, and that is that you remember that Jesus coming into the world did so because there's something going on with Satan. You see, Satan had attempted to thwart God's plan all the way back in the Garden of Eden. He had tempted Adam and Eve, and they had sinned. And that was Satan's attempt to say, I'm going to take over this world and I'm going to rule it and I'm going to own it. He also tries to kill the Messiah by Herod, inspiring Herod to kill all the two-year-old boys. We're going to see that in just a moment. But what's very interesting here is when the angels announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds and the shepherds go and find Jesus, Satan is nowhere to be found. He does not know that the Messiah has just been born in Bethlehem. He doesn't know that the Messiah is in a stable. He's completely left out of the picture. Well, I'm Steve Wheeler. I'm the director of Whitefields Ministry. I'm sitting in for David today. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. When we come back, we're going to compare the next passage. That's Matthew chapter 2 with the shepherds in Luke 2. So don't go anywhere. Listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
What is it, Cassie? Uncle Bob is floating in water like a bad stock. Whoa! We better go help him. Uncle Bob? Uncle Bob!
Jimmy, over here!
Come on, Cassie, let's help Uncle Bob out of that water well. Uncle Bob, how did you get into that water well?
Oh, I tried to fix my roof on my own.
Cassie says you should have used Excalibur Roofing, Uncle Bob. Cassie says you could have just called them at 760-743-8803. Cassie says you could also check them out at excaliburroofing.com.
I bet Excalibur Roofing would have had me covered. And free estimates, too? Oh, gosh darn!
Golly, Uncle Bob, if you would have just typed in Excalibur Roofing in your search engine, you wouldn't be all wet.
You're right, Jimmy. I'll never forget. Excalibur Roofing.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Mark Larson and Tony Ramirez of Singing Hills Memorial Park.
You know, Tony, our listeners know that years ago, my wife and I made our plans at Singing Hills Memorial Park. It's something people don't want to deal with, you know, end of life. But it's great to get it just kind of out of the way, have the plan set so loved ones don't have to worry about it. Of course, Lord willing, we're planning on being around for a long time. But when you have the plans made, it does give you peace of mind, and that has intrinsic value. And there's more value now. You go out and visit Singing Hills. You have some new additions and some special opportunities.
That's right, Mark. If you mention this ad, anything in the cemetery by way of traditional burial, cremation burial, anything, if you mention this ad, we will go ahead and offer you a special finance.
That's right, and that is a special opportunity now for a limited time. So call Tony. Talk to his team at Singing Hills Memorial Park, 619-444-3000.
Singing Hills Memorial Park.
619-444-3000.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I want to thank you for joining us here at KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I am Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. You can find our ministry. I wanted to mention you can find us on our Facebook page. If you search Whitefields Inc., I-N-C, Whitefields is a nonprofit and corporation since 1956. And if you search Whitefields, you can see some of the pictures that we posted on our Facebook page. You can also like our page. We only put up about one post a day, just share a little bit of something that you can pray for. And some of these pictures, like of the bamboo dock and the boat ride and the kind of, you'll get a little better idea of what the people there are living like and why this message, I've been talking about the shepherds, why they could really relate to those people as shepherds, the very poorest of the poor. And yet the gospel was available to them. Jesus was coming for all people. Now, one of the things I mentioned right at the close of the last segment was It would have been Satan's greatest achievement if he could somehow thwart the plan of God. That was his whole attempt in God's creation here on earth, was to thwart the relationship that God had with man. And he succeeded in the Garden of Eden to tempt Adam and Eve and cause them to sin. And he would have very much liked to have destroyed the Messiah and destroyed Jesus. But he is nowhere to be found in the birth narratives of Jesus coming. When Jesus was born in the shepherds, they were very close by in the hills of Bethlehem. But there was another group of people, and I also taught about this in Myanmar as well, and that was the Magi. They're very different from the shepherds. In fact, almost the exact opposite structure and strata of people. While the shepherds were poor, the Magi were wealthy. Where the shepherds are uneducated, the Magi were astronomers. They were highly educated. They were searching and seeing the stars, and God revealed to them that a king was born by placing a new star in the sky. While the shepherds were the least trusted, the Magi were kingmakers. And they traveled from far away. While they were searching the skies, they saw the star appear, and they knew that its symbol might have come from Numbers 24, a tremendous passage of Scripture. It's possible that these Magi had been somehow students of Daniel. That's what some of my professors in seminary presented. And so they were very well educated. They were very steeped in the Old Testament scriptures, and they knew that a king of the Jews had been born, and they were highly respected. In fact, when they arrived in Jerusalem, they arrived in such pomp and circumstance that they really ruffled the feathers of everybody in Jerusalem. King Herod was there, and he was absolutely stunned that these guys, and they were ushered right into his presence. And so they were given high regard by very, very powerful people. And then the king, King Herod, he gathered all the Jewish leaders, and all the Jewish leaders gathered together as well, and they gave them the answer from Micah that the Jewish king should be born in Bethlehem. You know what's unique, though, about these two visitors, these groups of visitors? The shepherds, when they heard the announcement, even though they were unexpecting, they weren't, there's no sign that they were wrapped up into the Judaism and Old Testament scriptures. They went, though, to find Jesus. They got up and left their flocks, and they went into Bethlehem to find Jesus. When the Magi, these foreigners from far away, when they saw the star and they knew that it was a sign that the king had been born, they also got up and left their place, and they traveled on this long journey and arrived in Jerusalem looking for the king that was born. It's very interesting to me. I just want to point out to you, I don't know if you've ever thought about the fact, but the Magi arrive in Jerusalem and say, "We're here to see the king of the Jews." You know, most of the time, you're not born a king. You're born a prince because Papa's the king. But in this case, when the Magi arrive, they say, "We're here to see him who is born king of the Jews." Jesus was born already a king. And so both of these groups have come. On the one hand, the shepherds, they bring nothing. There's no indication that they had any gifts. I know some Christmas cards throw the little drummer boy in there with them, but that's a little extra biblical. Just want to point that out. The wise men, the Magi, on the other hand, they come bearing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Myrrh, by the way, was a spice that was used in the burial process, and so already they were giving a signal as to what Jesus would eventually do in his life. But here's, I think, something that is significant about these two groups of people and why God has chosen these two groups, the shepherds and the Magi, to be the representative guests invited to the birth of his son. It's because both of them need a Savior. You know what I can say to the poorest of the poor person? Salvation is available to you. God's invitation is to you. His son was born to all people. But you know what else I can say to them? Being rich, being powerful does not get you out of the need for a Savior. Because the Magi, they were also in need of a Savior. They also must respond in obedience. And they also came to Jesus to worship him. So if you have a gift, you can give it in the service of the Lord, but no gift is necessary. You can come and worship Jesus with absolutely nothing in your hands. In fact, we so often sang at the end of our church services that song, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." You know, the way that we need to come to God is totally empty-handed. We don't want to come to him with my hands full of, "Look at all my accomplishments, God." And so as the shepherds come, as the wise men come, as they all have arrived to give worship and to give praise to Jesus, the Savior that has been born, we recognize that Satan's plan to thwart God's plan fails. He's not there. He's unable to hurt Jesus as the baby. And I think if you meditate on Scripture, I think that you will find that Satan doesn't really know who the Messiah is until the temptation of Jesus. I think that's when it sinks into him that this is truly the Messiah. And he does that because Jesus does not fall prey to Satan's temptation. And then Satan eventually leads these people, those Jewish leaders, the religious ones that heard from the Magi but did not bother to go see Jesus, they eventually are the ones that come together to crucify Jesus. Satan at that point thinks he's winning by killing Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, and instead on the cross, God declares victory because our sins are paid for. That is a great message. It's a great message that we're allowed to preach to the lost. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry, sitting in for David. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Up on the stage, here I go.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.